That's right. We're riding with the king here. Howard Eskin joining us on the Midday Show. He's brought to you by McGurk's Pub and Grill. If you're looking for a spot to watch the birds this season, grab your crew and head over to McGurk's. All their locations have a great atmosphere and an awesome game day menu. Howard, how you doing today?
Howard.
Day after a win.
It's just so, it's so nice with a win. A good, bad. You guys, in, was it a good win or bad? Wait a minute. A win is a win, right? Isn't a win count? There's two columns. Well, they have ties, three columns. W, L, and ties.
Yes, that's the way it works.
Okay. So is it better if it's in the W column or the L column?
Well, W would be better than L.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
We need
so
those.
Then it's good, right?
Okay,
it's
well, let me ask
w
you this. The way that we won, how long do you think this is sustainable?
Yeah, they can't win when they hadn't scored a point going into the fourth quarter.
We're on the same page there.
Okay, we're on the obviously we're on the same page. I mean, it's just, but look at it this way. It doesn't matter. Kansas City is such a fraudulent 3-0. They struggled in every one of those wins. The last two, the officials gave them the game. Mm. They called a pass interference against Cincinnati and gave him the game. They didn't call a pass interference last night against Atlanta, which they would have lost the game. I don't care what Andy Reid did at the end of the game. They would have lost the game. The officials are so inconsistent. So, you know, the point is they're 3-0 and they're ugly. The team that you got to keep, look back and look at Minnesota. And I don't know everybody, well, what does Nick Sirianni do? You guys and you fans, whether he calls the plays or what does he do? Well, what does a head coach do when he doesn't call the plays, either offensive or defensively? I don't know if Kevin O'Connell calls the plays, but Minnesota's defense is what's winning for him. They are really good. And they're 3-0. So that's a good 3-0. But, you know, Kansas City's a bad 3-0. But it doesn't matter when the wins are the wins. And, you know, I know you're going to ask me about Sirianni and people go, oh, he's defending Sirianni. I don't know how to say this, and I'll go ahead even without your question because you're going to ask me about the first.
Howard, what did you make of going for the fourth and one instead of kicking the field goal with 14 seconds to go in the half?
Horrible mistake. Mistake. And I'm saying, even if they make it,
yep,
what are they going to do the next play? But so I dug a little deeper. Digged. It's a bad. It's using, you know, the
don't
fans.
Worry about it.
You went
like
digging. You dug, and
now you got
an answer for it.
Okay. They wanted to run a play that they ran before, and I think it was against Washington, where it was a touchdown. And Nick Sirianni, and I didn't get into this because I didn't see it until this morning. And he was right in front of me, but I'm looking at the play like, what are they doing? I think he tried to call a timeout because maybe he didn't see the formation that he thought he would see because originally saw the formation and maybe they moved out of it. He ran a play that was a touchdown play. Nick Sirianni believed the play that was called could have been a touchdown. Now, even with that, I don't care. You've got to 14 seconds left. You have 30 seconds left. You might, you know, and you have a timeout. Okay. But not 14 seconds left. So it was a bad decision by Nick Sirianni. Now, going for it during the field, you're seeing more and more teams go for it on fourth down. Didn't Atlanta go for it against the Eagles on a fourth down play?
They converted.
Right. Okay. And then yesterday, they tried it and they didn't. They still should have won the game because the officials went to sleep. But the reality is there's more and more coaches going for it on fourth down. You know, I'm not sure about the field goal, the decision on the field goal from 60 yards. In the pregame, I'm watching, I don't think, and I was told that that's not correct. It didn't look like, even though it's a dome stadium, the ball doesn't travel as far. They're below sea level. I don't know what all that means. But he had the distance. But I don't know that I would have gone for it there. But I assume he had confidence in his defense. It was not his best coaching job. But that doesn't mean he's not a good coach. That doesn't mean that the players don't play their ass off for him. That doesn't mean that the players don't respect him. And, you know, hey, Kyle, you're a dope, by the way, just before I even say this. You're a dope.
What did I do?
You said earlier that, well, he just does things to make believe he does things or something. I'm paraphrasing now. That just to show he does something.
Well, it does feel like he's interjecting. Let me throw this at you, Howard.
Okay.
I'll use something you use a lot, that baseball managers, they don't win the game, they only lose the game. That's what I'm sensing with Sirianni. Just get out of the way. Like, if you just run the game normal, you're going to win yesterday. I mean, like, they outgained him by 200 yards. You take away that play, they have three more points on the board. It just feels like he's trying too hard to make himself, like here, I did something to help us win the game.
Okay, so I'm going to go back to the players who are accountable. They had the interception,
yep,
the fumble,
mm-hmm,
the block punt I count as a turnover.
Okay.
Okay, so that's three. Right? That's three. Okay, he made a mistake on the field goal, in my opinion. And I think he realizes now he made a mistake with 14 seconds left. But that's three turnovers to one. So how many games are you going to win when you're getting, you know, out turnover? You know, you're on the minus side of turnovers all the time. Yet, they're 2-1. Now, if they had won last week and people expected them to lose this week, all hell would have broken loose anyway, but they would have still been 2-1. And now next week, I don't know. I thought Tampa was going to get beat yesterday, and I'm not. But Todd Bowles does a good job defensively against Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. So the reality is, when you say just get out of the way,
get out of the way.
Well, no, but wait a minute. The quarterback has got to see.
I agree with you on the quarterback, but players are going to make mistakes, right? Physical mistakes, yes, happen in the game. I can't have the coach making mistakes. I can't do that.
Yesterday was not his best game, yet they won the game.
They did. They overcame it. They overcame it with Saquon, yes, and Goddard and obviously Jalen Carter. All right, let's talk about the quarterback because, Howard, there's some good things. I mean, he completed a high, yep, percentage of his passes in each of the last two games. He led a game-winning drive yesterday.
Yep.
He leads the NFL in yards passed. I mean, he's done some good things. But, Howard, we're now on six turnovers in three games. I mean, it's an enormous amount of turnovers.
Yeah, that's not good. And it's amazing that they accomplished what they – and the win that – you know, he wins a game in the last 2 minutes. So, you know, that goes and that'll be, you know, how many games, game-winning drives in the last 2 minutes. So you're going to give him one. He did it without A.J. Brown, who they knew was going to be out. They did it without Devontae Smith. Covey it was out. You did it without Lane Johnson.
Yep.
Actually, with two guys on the offensive line, because Becton was out, you know, got hurt during the game. So they did it without, and yet they still won the game. So Jalen Hurts obviously was a good play call. It was a good pass, and Goddard. I mean, the whole dynamic of that at the end of the game, 3rd and 16. You say, all right, what are the chances that not only are they going to get close enough to score a touchdown, but they're going to get a first down, but get close enough to score a touchdown. So somebody's got to take credit for it. Now, you give the players, you're just like the fans in many cases. Well, you give the players credit when they win, and then you put it on the coach when they lose.
Yeah, he's a baseball manager to me. He can only lose games.
I'm taking your line.
He can only lose games. He gets no wins for me. He just gets losses.
I'll give you yesterday. Okay, Zach Wheeler. The manager can take a nap. He can go in the dugout, go in his office, lay down, you know, on his couch, and take a nap. Because you know Zach Wheeler's going to be good for 7 minutes.
Totally. Well, that's what I want Sirianni to do. Nap?
Yeah, but that's not the same in football. I mean, baseball, you have to make
get
no decisions.
Get out of the way and let the team play. All right, Howard,
stop with the Sirianni.
No, he's got to get out of the way. I mean, he's going to mess this thing up, Howard.
He's a good coach, but he's so emotional.
Yeah, that was
I agree.
And that's what people don't like. They don't. I love his emotion.
Yeah, but you gotta calm the emotion down and make the right decision.
You know what? I think the players are too emotional. All that nonsense they do.
Attitude reflects leadership. The most emotional guy's the coach.
Okay, but they were emotional. It doesn't matter who the coach. They're emotional. With Kansas City players are emotional. Andy Reid is like a statue. And so you can't just say that. But like Brandon Graham after the game, he was so excited.
He was.
But I want to see that, you know, when I do my post-game interview when they win, talking to Zach Bond, and then Brandon sees me just at the end of the interview. He starts chirping. How about that? How about that? You know, tomorrow night we'll talk about it. We're meeting tonight. And by the way, the show's on YouTube because the Phillies are getting in the way with the pregame shows. But the reality is, you know, I want to see excitement. I want to see the players. And I have no problem if the coaches do that. You know, it's just when they score, the coaches, there's a bunch of the coaches that go crazy. I'm okay with that. You know, emotion is part of what we do. Aren't we emotional a lot of the, you're emotional today, right?
Of course.
I'm very emotional.
Hughes very emotional. I thought it was a good win. I mean, Hughes got a wet blanket on him today.
Yeah, I'm fine. A win is a good win. Was it, you know, you could say, was it a little ugly? Yes.
A lot ugly.
But you can't score 15 points and win most games.
I agree. We find common ground on that. All right, Howard. We appreciate it. We'll be listening,
you know,
and watching tonight.
Find common
ground. Well, we find common ground on some things, as long as Sirianni gets out of the way. All right, Howard, tonight we'll listen and we'll watch on YouTube Brandon Graham show tonight, coming up after the afternoon show. Thank you, Howard.
There he goes,
Howard Eskin. Guy over here. Just get out of the way, Sirianni. Get out of the way. 215-592-9494. Hit your phone calls next. Reacting to the win, was it a good one? And we'll talk more about Jalen Hurts, his performance, the ups and the downs. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, it's here, everybody, the most wonderful time of the year, football season. And what's on the menu for football season? Pork, of course. Get ready for game day with Hatfield and put some pork on your fork. Elevate your kickoff cuisine with Hatfield's winning lineup of marinated pork tenderloins, bacon, and ham. Whether you're the tailgate king or gridiron gourmet, Hatfield helps you savor the taste of victory. Visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes. Find your flavor with Hatfield.
Back goes Hurts. He's looking. He steps up. He dashes out of harm's way. He starts to run. He falls. He fumbles the football and then makes a tackle. That's the second turnover today.
They're now minus five in that category.
It's awfully tough to win when you're turning the football over at this rate.
It is. They found a way yesterday, and they find a way kind of often to do this, but more turnovers by Jalen Hurts yesterday. Welcome back. Midday Show, 215-592-9494. Jalen Hurts had some ups, obviously a game-winning drive, which is a major, major up. I mean, I don't know if you saw this. Elliott Shore Parks gave him an A grade, Jalen.
Yeah, I was surprised at that.
A grade, Jalen. And that, well, you mean game-winning drive, I guess, boost that score. That's like
Elliott's an A.
Some would say that. I guess it's like the final test, the final exam, boost that grade point average up a lot, because Jalen did not have an A before that last
way too
drive.
Much, though. I mean,
maybe
an
too
A.
much. Yeah, an A's strong.
It's not an A quarterback performance.
It was not. Wasn't. It was. What was it? Was it a B?
I would. I think I would say a C. Yeah, I think
a strong
B's
C.
The highest you can go.
He actually
overcame his
C+.
Own.
I know.
Like he's the one that put himself in that position.
I would go B. I
think B's the highest you can go.
He completed like 75% of his passes.
Right.
And I'm going to grade in a curve. No Lane Johnson at the end. No Mekhi Becton. Though I'm not even sure if Steen is that much worse.
It was pretty admirable performance.
Yeah, no AJ. No Devontae at the end. No Covey. And you might laugh at that, but he's probably their fourth best receiver. Third best receiver.
But I look at it like this. I tweet in the moment. And in the moment, from tweeting last night, there was a lot of times where Jalen didn't look like he was making great decisions. Now, the thing that I like about it is he recovered. He bounced back. But we can't always depend on that being the case, because down the stretch, because of what we've seen in the past, it causes us to have heart palpitations.
Well, it does. I guess what's becoming a bigger question for me now is this an outlier, or is this who he is? Because if we think he's a top five quarterback, then we say this is disappointing, this is frustrating, you're better than this. But maybe the reality is he's just a good, slightly above average NFL quarterback. And that's that they play like that, right? They have a lot of good, but then they have some bad, and it all comes out to like a B, you know, kind of thing at the end.
I don't know if I'm there, Joe.
But how long until you're not there? Like, how much more of this until you say this is who the guy is?
I don't like what Jalen has done over the last couple of weeks. But I still believe in Jalen. Now, Jalen has shaken my faith. He's shaken my faith these last couple of weeks. And I'm like every other Eagles fan. When he went into that last drive, I my first thought was like, damn, we didn't fought all the way to get to this point. What's about to happen? The unknown had me nervous. Let me just say that. I'm not going to sit here and say that I felt like he was going to throw a pick or it was going to be an interception, well, a pick or a sack or something like that. But I felt strongly like, damn, okay, what's about to happen next? Because I didn't know what the – it was an unknown situation.
Well, especially in a third and 16. Yeah, the odds are pretty low.
It's unknown. And I was like, damn. But when he completed that pass to Goddard and we got into the positive and we actually won the game, I felt better. But I was realistic. We can't do that every week. I can't depend on that every week. I'm not there yet.
Let's hear from Sirianni on exactly that, the sustainability of the way they're playing.
To overcome, like, we know this is not sustainable. We said this after the Green Bay game. This is not sustainable. We got to take the ball away, and we did in a critical scenario, but we still lost the turnover battle. And so this is not sustainable to do it that way. We got to take care of the ball. We got to get the ball away from them. But, again, the resiliency, I mean, the defense played unbelievable.
Well, they did. I mean, they were great yesterday. These games are almost becoming the Eagles versus themselves rather than the Eagles versus the opponent. I mean, like, I haven't been overly impressed within the game with any of their opponents. Now, Green Bay has played well since without Jordan Love, and that's credit to them. They've saved their season. But I don't know, week one, were you that impressed with the Green Bay? I wasn't. They were fine.
I was impressed with the way that the defense flashed in a short period of time because they were put their backs were put against the wall.
But I mean, the opponents. So I wasn't that impressed with Green Bay that night. I wasn't that impressed with Atlanta. They were fine.
Atlanta looked like they might be sneaky good.
Yeah, they might be.
They might be sneaky good.
But they're probably a 10-win team, not a 12-win team. They're fine.
Then yesterday,
the Saints, we were told, and the stats said they were better than they've been in years past.
I didn't feel like that.
I didn't feel like it.
Either.
Well, yeah, you didn't. But I didn't feel it watching them. It feels like the opponent the first three games are the Eagles. The Eagles' opponent is themselves. The coach, just get out of the way, and the quarterback stop turning the ball over.
Well, I also feel like the first month of the season has a lot to do with it because I will say this about this Eagle team is every week they've played progressively better. Last week was a great sample of what I thought this defense could be. They could build off of that. They could build off of that. And you know what's funny about that defense? Most people was like, oh, defense is a luxury, Hugh. You know when you say stuff.
You said that.
Yeah, I did. But you know when you say stuff like that, you're kind of making my point because they were opportunistic in the way that they played. They did the simple things that most defenses should be able to do. They're still pass rushingly challenged.
That's a new term.
Yeah, I just made it up. Like, they're still that. But they played as a cohesive unit. Like the run fits yesterday. Go back and look at the film. You very rarely saw guys out of gaps.
Right.
There were some times where, you know, Alvin Kamara did his thing, but for the most part, going into any game, Joe, back in the day when I played, to give up less than 17 points and to keep a team to under 100 yards, that's a damn good day on defense.
Mm.
That's a damn good day. And that's what they did yesterday. Here's the challenge since we're keeping receipts. Can we do that again? Can we have another day like we had Sunday? Because that's you've set yourself up for the standard. That's the standard right now defensively. Jalen Carter, as you said it yourself, that you didn't play well. Okay, now I want to see what your playing well looks like because you've shown me. Like yesterday, whether you admit it or not, or you don't believe it or not, you were a game wrecker. You were the one-man game. Y'all remember that wrestler, the one-man game?
Mm-hmm.
That's who you were yesterday.
He really did wreck the game.
You were the one-man game for 1 week. For 1 week.
Do it again.
Do it again.
Let's see it again. And if he does it again, he's the best player on their defense. Like, three games in, it's so obvious there's one player that has the ability to be great. Just one. And his name is Jalen Carter. He's got to do it more. Let's hear from Jalen after the game on his turnovers and the mistakes made yesterday.
Obviously, I got to do a better job of protecting the ball. I trust my guys to make plays, but I got to be better with that. And the fumble is unacceptable in that, regardless of the circumstances. And so I own all of those things. And I learn from it, and I continue to be the best I can for my team.
Well, he keeps saying he's going to learn from it. I got to see a difference. Like, eventually, if you learn something, you stop doing it. We shall see. But I thought yesterday was a good win. They were on the road, overcame a ton of injuries before the game, in the game. They overcame a blocked punt. They overcame their own coach. They overcame the quarterback turning the football over. And they shut down what statistically was the number one offense in the NFL, a game few people thought they were going to win. Hugh did, but few did. And they outgained him by over 200 yards. I thought that was a good win. 215-592-9494. Was it a good win? Your reaction to Sirianni, Hurts, and everything from yesterday. Let's go to Terrence in Springfield. Terrence!
Dude, yo, Kyle, what's up, man?
What's up, Terrence? What's up, pal?
I feel like it was a good win. You know, I need Jalen Hurts to clean up the turnovers. I need Sirianni to stop making these bonehead decisions. Like you said, When you're in a tight game like that, I think I text Kyle and I text you, Joe. You can't leave points on the board because in a different game during the season, it's going to come back to haunt you. And it can't come back to haunt you, especially when you're in a defensive struggle like that. With that being said, Saquon Barkley won this game. Dallas Goedert won this game. And the defense won this game. Defensive line and Fangio won this game. They had a perfect game plan to stop this high-power offense. With that being said, man, Sirianni, there's another clip they went to him after the game, and he's saying, like, yeah, when your coach let you down and the team, you guys got me off the hook. Like, that shouldn't be able to happen. And with Jalen Hurts and these turnovers, a lot of these turnovers, he's making his decision before the play even starts. He knows who he's going to before the play even starts. And he cannot do that. He has to scan the field because there's always somebody, other people open on the play.
It does feel like he locks in, Terrence. I thought he tried. Like, he kind of locked in on the interception, but he tried to move his eyes to move Honey Badger. But Honey Badger knew where that ball was going. He knew right away.
And another thing, like you said, the defense played well last week. But we got a lot of them sophomore games coming up. I want to see this week after week. And you said a key thing, Joe, just a second ago. Jalen Hurts, you keep saying you're going to learn from this. You've been saying this since last year. When are you going to start correcting these mistakes? And we're in the red zone. We should beat the Saints by at least by 14 points. We're in the red zone like two or three times. We turn the ball over, turn over on downs. We got to correct those mistakes. And right now, we should be sitting at 3-0 if it wasn't for Coach Sirianni. And he has to correct that because I feel like Blankenship saved the job on that interception because I feel like it could have went the other way if they went down there and scored and tied that game up and went to overtime. So kudos to the defense. I want to see another absolutely Herculean effort again next week. And let's see if we could do it.
Well, and they're going to need another one because it will not be easy in Tampa next week. Terrence, we appreciate it, considering the injuries that now we don't have an update yet on the injuries, but concussions, we know they are way more. There's a protocol now, right? You have to pass certain tests. You can't just say, I'm good, and you play. So I have no idea if Lane could go. No idea if Devontae could go. We'll see about AJ. I mean, there's a real chance they go into that game
Slay,
Sunday
Slay's
without him.
A little banged up, too.
Well, he shout got driven to, into the ground
yeah, shout
by
out
Penning.
To Slay, man. Like, way to sacrifice. Because, you know, Slay took a lot of heat last year, and I wanted to take this moment. You know, he don't need my praise, but he played well in the run game. He was a factor in the run game. He did a lot more than he even admitted he's done in the past. Dude, when he went up against that lineman, like it was a mismatch.
By 100-something pounds.
Yeah, he was a mismatch. But he was doing his thing, man. He tried to come up there and run fits. Yeah, that's all you could ask for from a DB. That's all you're going to ask for.
Saints are kind of dirtbags, dude.
A little bit.
I thought it fired the Eagles up, the Devontae thing. And then when Slay got driven into the ground out of bounds, I thought it gave the Eagles an extra edge, and they had one anyway.
They were doing a whole lot.
Yeah.
That was.
They've been like that for a while.
They have.
The Saints have that about them.
That's right.
I've never liked the Saints.
No.
I just Can't even think. When Drew Brees was there and people liked Drew Brees, I just, I'm no.
Started with smug ass Sean Payton on the sideline, chewing the gum. Like, yeah, can't stand that.
So, yeah, there used to be losers when I was young, and they're still kind of losers. So Terrence brought up the red zone stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Eagles, through three games, are 23rd in the NFL in touchdown percentage in the red zone. So when they've gotten in the red zone, they've scored only 42% of the time in terms of touchdowns. That's not good. I mean, that's 23rd in the NFL, and you look up near the top, and you have teams in the 70s. I mean, I that's probably a high mark, but like if you can get over 50, I think that's probably a good place to be.
And I think that this team is evolving. I mean, I was just a little bit upset today because the point thing to me really burned my biscuits this morning because it's a good chance that moving forward, you're probably going to be in these lopsided games, especially now when you have so many of your offensive weapons hurt. You're probably going to be in games where, you know, you're going to have to depend on your defense a lot. So we have to get this cleaned up.
So here's a good note, though, on the other side of the red zone stuff. No team has had more trips to the red zone than the Eagles' offense through three games.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
Well, that means they're moving the ball up and down the field. It's just when they get inside the 20, it's a combination of the coach and the quarterback are screwing up.
That's exactly what I was just talking about with Hurts leading the league in passing yards. Like, the offense is, I would wager, outgaining their opponents like in almost every game so far this season. Like,
well, they've won by 200 yards this capacity.
Like, they're moving the ball. They're shooting themselves in the foot.
And with that being said, if you're moving the ball up and down the field, how about let your Pro Bowl kicker do that? Do his thing. Like, he's a Pro Bowler. Like, if you're bogging down, but you're moving the ball, it's going to come. Like, that's football one-on-one. You're going to get the touchdowns that you want, but in the meantime, take the 3 points, man. Hell, take the 4 points. Take whatever the defense is giving you. That's a philosophy that has been tried and true in the NFL since hell, day one.
You know what I've noticed? Because Howard mentioned this. Teams go for fourth downs more and more now, right? They go away from the field goal. They try to get the touchdown. Three coaches I notice every week are more of on the conservative side in terms of field goals.
Because they're older.
Well, no, not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Andy kicks field goals all the time when he just, and that's how they always rack up points. They have like a very high floor.
Oh, when you say, because I was thinking about kicking the field goal.
That's what I mean. Andy kicks field goals all the time. You know who else does? Shanahan and McVay. They kick field goals all the time. And some people say that burns them sometimes, but I feel like those three offenses, most games have high floors. Even if they have a tough day, they're in the low 20s, and then when they explode, they're in the 40s.
I would also like to add, Dennis Allen let us back in the game multiple times
by punting
in our territory.
Dennis Allen is a coward. he let them back in the game. I wrote it down in my notes. He punted twice from the 40.
Yeah, it was absurd.
Like, all right, maybe once, but twice? Like, you're going to, I mean, it was those two coaches yesterday just took turns.
That was like an early 2000s football game where he's like,
passing
the baton.
I mean, it's just nonsense yesterday. Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
Hey, Will.
Hey, listen, I'm happy with the win, you know, but I know we could do a whole lot better. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, this is reminded me of last season. We getting these little squeaky wins. We gotta punish the teams that we know we should be punishing, and then we're gonna get in a dogfight with the teams that we know is gonna give us a problem. But the whole thing is, right, with that red zone, I keep saying, now you got Saquon, you finally got Goddard activated, right? Now, you could use both of them weapons, but the whole thing is, Goddard is a bigger target. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of the times where you could fake the Saquon, a lot of the defense is going to fold on Saquon, and that's going to leave Goddard wide open. And you saying throwing up the middle, you could throw that right up the middle to him. His body is too big, man. Whoever's behind him or trying to get in front of him, his whole body is blocking all that. So, you know, we need to focus on that more. What I need Jalen to do is, you know, focus, and, you know, you don't have to prove yourself. The only way you prove yourself is to play better, man. Make better decisions. And that's the same thing with the coaches. You know what I'm saying? Now, next week, we play in Tampa Bay. Now, what worked this week may not work next week. So plan for that. Because that's what I was thinking with a lot of these games that we've been playing. We've been playing because of what worked that first week is going to work for the next team. But it's not like that. You got to know your team. And I'm going to end it with this. When we say, you know, the Eagles is beating themselves, it's all because when you playing chess, your biggest opponent is yourself. So as long as we know that, then we could do better in the do better by the season.
Well, that's the key. Well, we appreciate it, buddy. And here's the reality of it. If the Eagles were the best roster in the NFL by far, if they were dominating everyone, if they were three scores better, these little things wouldn't matter as much. An interception here, a fumble there, a coaching decision. But they're not. I mean, these games are all tight. They were all tight mostly last year. They're all tight again. They need to clean up this stuff in order to make sure they can get to the win mark we want them to get to. 215-592-9494. Was that a good win? Yes or no? It is our Twitter question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others can see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. 67% on the poll today saying, yes, it was a good win. And what? I
they're
agree
such
with
liars.
Them. They're not liars.
They are liars.
No, underdogs. Listen. Underdogs on the road.
Yeah.
Losing your right tackle, right guard, top two receivers. That's not an easy game to win.
No, it's
and
not.
And they shut down a top offense, and they overcame the head coach and, to an extent, the quarterback. That's a good win.
Overcoming the head coach is crazy.
And the quarterback.
I know.
That's not a good way to win. That's a, like,
I didn't say it's a good way to win, but it was a good win. No. It's a good win.
When that game was over, what did you feel more? Like, wow, like, man, really proud of the team? Or like, we had no business winning that game whatsoever. We had none.
See, I felt that way a lot last year. I didn't feel that quite that the way this way on Sunday. They did outgain them by 200 yards. I thought they were better than the Saints on like 90% of the snaps. They were the better team. And then the other 10% of the snaps, the coach didn't know what he was doing, and the quarterback gave it back. And the punt block obviously set up the Saints as well. I just feel like they were better most of the day. They just had very high-profile, dumb moments. And that's why this game was close.
But isn't that the mark of this team now, like every game? For
yes,
the and like,
yes.
Because I wanted to give them the pass after week one with the turnovers, but now it's officially a pattern that stretches back to last season when things sucked. That's why I felt almost like I got kicked in the stones after we won that game.
Oh, not in the stones.
In the stones, Hugh.
I didn't feel that way. Hugh, I know you felt more towards the way Kyle did. I don't know about you if you got kicked in the stones.
No, I didn't get kicked in the stones. But
you
it was
felt
just like,
frustrated.
I was frustrated because it's like, for the life of me, did not understand the move with the 3 points thing. And then trying to kick it 60 yards out, you're going to kick the field goal. It doesn't go together. I think it was compounded because of what happened the week before. And it's like, you've had 2 weeks where if you would have lost this game, people would have been questioning your football acumen. Like seriously, I think there would have been a lot of questions about what the hell is he doing. But because we won it, and a win is a win, we tend to overlook it as fans. But for me, we ran through this last year. We did this last year. We talked about, hey, you know, they got off to a 10-win start, and it was like, oh, that's ugly. The defense isn't doing this and that. Hey, but they're winning. No, the standard is much higher than that. And I know for some, the casual fan, they're not going to get that, especially the ones that helicopter in from other states that aren't here. They got boots on the ground here in Philadelphia. We saw this. For weeks, we saw this. No, we can't live like that and get to where we want to be. Can't do it.
Can't do it. Here's what I'll just say this. Then we're back to the phones. If you had told me before the game that 60% of the fan base didn't think they were going to win the game, they lose Lane Johnson, they lose their right guard, they lose Devontae, and they still win the football game and hold that offense to 12 points,
they'd be impressed. That's impressive.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, I take a step back and I said, that's a good win yesterday. 215-592-9494. TR in Winfield. What's up, TR?
What's up, man?
What do you got?
You just said it, man. What I said, just clarify what I said last week. The coach is our coaches, too, man. We just lost Jelaine. We lost Lane. Now we lost Smith. We're going to be fine. I appreciate the aggression, you know, that Sirianni is showing. You know, it's kind of like what the producer, I think, what he is, said, blind aggression. But I appreciate, man, the stubbornness and want to go ahead and play hard, man, and trust his coaching staff and his team and all the team they've been working for over the offseason to get in shape, you know, to get ready to play. I'm not, you know, if he's going to take a chance, because now everybody had that we won. We would have lost. They'd have been like, oh, yada, yada, yada. But we won, man. I don't care if it's 3 points or 1 point. As long as we win, now we're going to work on some things, get some things cleaned up, get cleaned up in certain areas. That's all. And I'm glad he used Goddard like they should have. The play calling was great to me, you know. And you, real fast, did you get a chance to watch the USC game?
I did not. You talking about USC Michigan?
When Michigan beat him they ran the ball down their throat for 3 hours.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, well, look at number 72 on the end on the left
No,
side.
The tackle. We saw him last week. Yeah, for USC you was talking about. You was telling about us last week. Yeah. Big dude.
But young boy. He's only 18. It's my nephew. He's only 18 years old. Spread out of fingers. But anyway, back to the Eagles. But, yeah, I'm confident, man. I like what we see, man. I love, you know, I think we cool. You know, everybody else think not. But, you know, maybe because I'm more in the box than the football. I don't see something that y'all see. But other than that, we're fine. Like I'm all right.
Well, they're fine. They are fine. Yeah, they're 2-1. They got a win. We appreciate. They're fine. We want them to be better than that. And as far as the Sirianni stuff goes, yeah, it doesn't matter each game if they win by 1 or 3 or 12 or 15. But usually the teams that win and dominate, they're better. And we haven't seen that yet. 215-592-9494. Back to the phones on the other side. Do you feel like that was a good win? And when we come back, we'll play some audio of the one Eagle who is feeling good. CJ GJ's post-game rant to the media. If you didn't hear this, you got it. It's next right here on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Yes, I do feel good. It's a good win yesterday. The Eagles are 2-1 here. You know what else feels good? Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. He went home yesterday, at least home in terms of his first NFL stop with New Orleans. He was healthy enough to play, and he had the last laugh. Let's listen to some of CJ GJ. He held court postgame in the locker room.
He's stacking the victories. Next.
Take us to the final drive here. What's about the interception?
We knew he was going to give us one all game. Like, everybody wanted to bet on, they thought they had us on a little seven round, they'll lobby, okay, cool. But they didn't go over our head all day. It's cool. We got the best secondary, best D-line, best front seven in the league right now. And I'm popping it because at the end of the day, they talked about, they said we were down and out. They gone about last week, now look at you now.
That's been the top offense in the league coming into today. What you guys do?
Top what?
The Saints?
In
terms of points?
Top what?
You ready?
Top what? Ain't nothing. Listen, ain't nothing get over that top from.
Okay.
Shout out to Slay, shout out to Q, shout out to Vontae, shout out to Reed, shout out to Ringo, shout out to Coach CP, shout out to Coach JK, amen. Best secondary in the league, that's the case.
What'd you have to play through to that?
We ain't played through nothing, played through my teammates. I'm not worried about somebody.
I don't think he caught that.
Listen, we keep receipts. That's what I told y'all in my room. See y'all Sunday. I told y'all a couple days before, they got rid of me. I ain't get rid of them. It's still in me. It's still tatted on me. I ain't worried. Come on, give me another one.
He's talking his talk.
It was his moment. He went back there if they traded him. So he had his teams, the Eagles and the Lions, had played the Saints each of the last years. He missed those games with injury. So this was his first game back against the Saints. Hugh, what do you make of the CJ GJ rant
there? Talk your trash, man. But, you know, like, you got to do it again next week, bro. I mean, that's a fact. You got to do it again next week. I like his bravado. I like him a lot. But if we're being realistic about it, like when he was talking about receipts, like the defense didn't play well the first 2 weeks of the season.
No.
So I give them grace in that they looked really, really good and dominant yesterday. The kicker's going to be, Joe, is now you got to string them together because he said something about stringing wins together. Okay, it starts now because you technically didn't win last week, so you're not on the streak. You got one. So if you get this one this weekend, now you really – when you come to the podium, you can really talk your trash and you can really start naming names if that's what you want to do.
The other thing about him, and I'm glad he had a day, and he brings a lot of energy and he brings a lot of swagger to the defense.
Yes, definitely.
He also got bailed out a little bit by Dallas Goedert and by Reed Blankenship because the go-ahead touchdown for the Saints, he was covering Chris Olave, and Chris Olave was open.
Chris Olave, yeah, he got open.
Yeah, he was way open.
Yeah, he had a day. Chris Olave had a day because he caught the first touchdown, wasn't he?
Yeah, Olave's a really good player.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where, yeah, you won the game, but you have to keep it consistent because I can make an argument that in this small three-game sampling size, this team hasn't been consistent.
Well, they haven't at all. You're right.
So much so that everything that everybody – was saying about you kind of rings true.
Well, they kind of fit with the rest of the NFL. I mean, how many teams do you feel like have been the same team each of the first 3 weeks? The one stands out to me, Howard mentioned them, is the Vikings. The Vikings have been the biggest surprise in the league, and they have generally been really good all three games. Even the Panthers, who we all agree stink, came out of nowhere yesterday to win a game. We'll do more NFL stuff, you know, league-wide next hour, but nobody in the NFL, really, except Minnesota, has looked the same.
Jekyll and Hyde, really.
It's been the whole league's Jekyll and Hyde. The Eagles are like that. Philly Rob is up next. What's up, Philly Rob?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, Philly Rob. What's up, pal?
Listen, I wanted to first say I appreciate Kyle and Hugh having my back against that big head TK who said my rant was like it brought him down.
Oh, no.
My Eagles. Yeah, don't let him take your place no more, Joe. He ain't worthy.
Oh, I'm gonna play this call for him. He's in big trouble. No, Philly Rob, yeah. What are you feeling today?
I'm feeling like that was a great win, man. Even though it was a low score and everything, it showed that our defense has the muscle and the heart to come back and do that thing. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Because we were like, oh, man, everybody's like, oh, the D sucks. When we got busts. We got, we ain't have no busts. Some boys, like I told, like I said yesterday, Hugh, I said he had to get their feet wet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said they got their feet wet now. They're going to come out and punch some faces. But TK was like, oh, he bringing me down or something. Because he said Chris's rant was better or his yell was better. But anyway, the D, man, JC was like on fleek. He was ready to kill somebody.
He was incredible. I mean, they couldn't block him. I mean, they could not block him the entire game.
Not at all. And he was like on fire. And then he brought his boy Davis up. I'm like, oh, they playing now. Look, we got the CD going now. They was playing. And them boys was like, I take offense to y'all calling us busts.
Well, they should take offense. Those guys are supposed to be star players.
Yeah, Bus is strong.
And we hadn't seen enough of it. But Billy Robb, they looked like stars yesterday. They wrecked the whole game.
Man, without them, the score would have been crazy on the other side. They held them boys.
They did. You know what they did? And Philly Rob, we appreciate they took them out of their element, Hugh. I mean, the Saints wanted to run the ball, get 5 or 6 or 7 yards on first down, be in their play action game. And when the Eagles stuffed the run, I mean, it was right away. And N'Kobe had a stop on, I think, the first play of the game when Kamara bounced outside. It's like set the whole tone that you're not running the football today. So what happened? TK was not happy with Philly Rob last week?
Well, yeah, it's something he said. I can't, you know what? You got to ask Kyle because I.
TK
know.
Was just being a downer the whole day.
I mean, TK's just, you know, he's being himself.
People were trying to get him excited for the game.
Oh.
And, you know, like rev it up with the hype speeches, and nothing was hitting TK.
Like he wouldn't even budge.
Yeah, it's like
bit.
He's dead inside.
He's a man that it takes a lot for him to get super excited. It's a lot.
I was trying to play positive music and stuff. And
yeah, didn't pump him up.
It was not pumping him up. I mean, well, I don't know. Is Hakuna Matata a pump up song?
It was funny. It was lively. The kids like it.
Yeah, I don't.
Hakuna Matata.
No, he didn't like that.
What a wonderful phrase.
Hakuna I like the song
Matata.
A lot. I mean, who doesn't? It makes you feel good.
He did.
TK doesn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't like Hakuna Matata.
No, he didn't like it at all.
Does TK seem like an Hakuna Matata guy to you?
He does not. He seems like the opposite.
Could you
of that,
picture
actually.
Him singing this?
I could not. I just pictured Timon and Pumbaa dancing, and then I'm smiling. Let's go to Jamal in Philly. What's up, Jamal?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Just listening to Hakuna Matata after a big win for the Eagles. What are you feeling?
All right, this is how I would say. It could go down as a good one or a bad one, and that's what I mean. Last year, we won like 5 in a row. I mean, Jalen coming back from comebacks. But you see what happened. They was who they was the whole time, and it showed in the end. If they learning from their mistakes, then it's a good one. If this is what we're going to see week in and week out, then to me it was a bad one because you get a little comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I like what I saw from the defense. I loved it. And Hugh, when it's call over, can you tell me what you really think about the edge rushing and what you think is going to be moving forward? But my thing is this. We got to be responsible. And I love the Eagles, and I love Jalen Hurts, and I just want to put this out as constructive criticism. I really think that Sirianni needs to give up play calling, period, and let Kellen Moore do his thing. This may be a little controversial. Like, I would love for Kellen Moore to, like, get the RPO, the run play option out of it. I feel like it's too predictable. Either you're going to pass it or you're going to run
it.
The league's not fooled anymore, Jamal. So I get your point. I think Jamal's trying to say just get all the – any hand Sirianni has on it, like the RPO game, get it out. And then, I mean, Sirianni yesterday saying he called the play, the failed fourth down before halftime. Now, maybe he's just trying to take the heat off of Kellen. I'm not even upset at the play call. Like, the play call's fine. I don't get mad if a play doesn't work. Like, last week, it wasn't the play call's fault Saquon dropped it. Mm-hmm. Saquon just dropped it. It was a good play call. My issue, and I think Hugh's issue, all our issue, is the decision. That's your job, Sirianni. Kick the field goal. Forget about the play call. Kick the field goal. 215-592-9494. We'll keep the calls going on the Eagles in the final hour of the show. Was that a good win? I'd say yes. We're nitpicking. Today. They won.
Damn right we nitpicked.
They won without their right tackle, their right guard, their number one receiver, their number two receiver. They had a lot of stuff go the wrong way yesterday, and they still won. Plus, a quick check-in on a team that didn't win last night. Can we get a clinch here, please? Can we finish this thing? Philly's magic number countdown, hopefully for the last time. Next, right here on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.